You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
All right, it's the Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710seattlesports.com. And happy to talk to Seahawks rookie Kobe Bryant. You know, sometimes I have to write down notes, try to remember somebody's name. But Kobe, with you, I know you've been getting this your whole life. And I feel like such a dope even talking about the name thing. But I heard you talk about it during your, you know, when you first got drafted and sort of the honor for the player that your parents had. Did that make you a Lakers fan? I mean, like, how much time did you spend on that as a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. It made me a Lakers fan right away. Before I knew who Kobe Bryant was, I had to be a Lakers fan, you know, just because of my name. I remember, you know, in school, in lunch lines, you know, people used to, you know, tease me because they didn't think that was my real name. So I have to show them some form of identification that it was me. So, you know, I wouldn't be able to get lunch until I showed them it was me. So
did you go back and watch the Winning Time thing to learn about Magic and sort of the rest of the Laker history?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just started watching it probably 2-3 months ago. Yeah.
So tell me about showing up here. You're here in Seattle. You're, what, a couple of weeks now into training camp, like 3 weeks into training camp. Is it what you thought it would be? I mean, you've never gone through an NFL training camp before. How has it been?
You know, it can be a lot, but, you know, this is what you worked your whole life for, you know, and I'm just grateful to be here. You know, Coach Carroll doesn't, you know, we're going to mess up. We're rookies, you know, we're still learning. But, you know, the bottom line is just to compete and, you know, have great effort. You know, that's the biggest thing preached here is, you know, just like I said, competing and having great effort.
What do you do when you leave here?
Try to rest as much as I can, you know, watch film, obviously. And then if I have time to play the game, I'll play it. But most of the time, I'm too tired to play it. So I just, you know, rest, honestly.
I'm thinking about, like, Hard Knocks comes around, right? You've watched Hard Knocks, yeah. Obviously. They're going to be in, what, Detroit this year.
Yeah.
But if Hard Knocks was here and they wanted to make you a character, right, they got to go follow you somewhere, where would they follow you?
Straight back to the hotel. I'm not even going to lie. They'll see a lot of DoorDash because I like to DoorDash a lot of
food. What are you getting?
A lot of food like Popeyes, Chipotle. You know, I got to, you know, fix my eating habits better. So
I was thinking about that. I mean, it must be rough. You're what, 22 years old? 23 years old. You can eat Chipotle and Popeyes and come out here and run like anybody else out here?
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty tough though. But, you know, the older I get, I definitely have to be smarter. So.
I saw you working with the ones today. I know a couple guys were out, but you're sitting there working all day with the ones. How is that different going with the top unit versus when you find yourself with the twos?
You know, it's a lot different. The tempo, you know, going against Gino, Andrew, you know, and just the pace and being out there with guys like, you know, Jordan Brooks, Jamal Adams, Quandre, you know, those type of guys really, you know, give you the energy to, you know, make you step up and go out there and compete.
They yell at you?
Not really yell at me. You know, they get on me, though, if I mess up. But, you know, that's what I like, though, you know, because that means they, you know, have high expectations for me.
So what would you mess up? Just out of a curiosity, what would it mean to mess something up as a rookie cornerback?
Just, you know, little things, you know. It could be something so small, you know. It really can't be a certain thing. But, you know, just like I said, the bottom line is just to get, if you mess up, just do it fast, you know, and have great effort and, you know, just communicate out there.
Don't be a mistake repeater.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's the challenge? Is it knowing where to be? Is it your technique? Is it who covers it? Like, what is it that, what's on your mind as you're out there and thinking about what's going to happen on a play?
Yeah. Well, right now, the biggest thing for us rookies is, don't mess up, you know, but at the same time, you know, you have to also be confident in your coaches and well that they prepared you to be the best that you can be. So, you know, at the same time, you know, you don't want to overthink too much because then you'll be all out of whack. So, you know, at the same time, you also want to be confident, too.
Why were you picked where you were picked? I don't want to even talk about it. I feel bad. I know this has sort of been a subject that people have asked you about before.
Right.
But I watch you out there, and certainly the press that you've gotten since showing up in Seattle has been nothing but positive. People nationally think you could be a starter as a rookie. Why did you fall to where you fell? It doesn't make sense for the Jim Thorpe Award winner.
Right. You know, it's all God's plan. You know, I'm grateful to be here. You know, honestly, I feel like I'm in a perfect spot. You know, being with Coach Carroll, Coach Scott, Coach Hurt, you know, all those guys, I feel like this is my real home. And I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, and God has a story for me. And, you know, I feel like my story is going to be 100 times better at the end. So
what do you think your story will be? Like when you leave the league one year, 15 years from now, what will the story of Kobe Bryant be in Seattle?
Just that I'm a great human being, you know, and a great leader. You know, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. You know, just trying to be the best, you know, best leader and, you know, someone they can hold accountable to.
Is that Clint Hurt who came over to take a look at you? Who was
that? Yeah, that was Coach Hurt.
Now, how's that going? Now, is he going to be mad at you for doing interviews as a rookie?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Coach Hurt, my guy, man. But he stays on me, too. So
okay. Tell me about Coach Scott, because I heard you mention the other day that that he has coached you hard, that you like to be coached hard. First, tell me about him. When you say coach you hard, what does that mean?
Yeah, he literally just came up to me yesterday. You know, he was like, you might not have had a coach that was so on you about just the little things. You know, it's not necessarily the big things, but it's the little things that can get you.
Can you tell me what that means? What's a little thing? Give me one. Give me one little thing he told you.
It could be like footwork, you know, at the line of scrimmage. You know, something that so small can, you know, impact the game that bigger.
Okay, show me what he showed you. Give me a footwork thing. I want to see it.
Just get my feet outside of my framework of my body, which means having my feet too wide.
Wide.
Yeah, so you want to keep them shoulder width apart and keep them underneath you. You know, it's just little things like that.
And what does that do for you?
Helps you react better. You know, if your feet are too wide, then you have to step underneath yourself and cross over. And as a defensive back or any football player, when you cross over, it's not good. So, you know, just little things like that. And he's been on me, you know, about getting to the ball, effort, you know, all those type of things, you know. And like I said, I respect that because he has high expectations for me.
It's fourth and five. It's the end of the game. You guys are on defense, or you're out here, and you got to cover either Lockett or DK. Who do you want to take?
Both.
You can't take both. You can only take one on a play. Who do you want?
No, I like to go. I mean, obviously, I like both, but I want to go against DK. DK is more of the physical guy. You know, I like physicality too, but you know, that's hard too. I like Lockett because Lockett is consistent. He doesn't make things look the same, but he's so smooth and so you know, electric. You know, I like him. So they you know, they both provide different things, but they're both dominant receivers.
Which wide receiver that we don't know as much about, so take DK and Tyler off the list, have you found? He might be the fastest guy out here.
He's definitely faster than me, man. But he's a unique guy, man. He's a comedian, actually. He's goofy. He always has a smile on his face. That's why, you know, he brightens up the room. You know, it's never a day where he comes in, you know, sad or up and down. He's always, what you see is what you get. So who he is who he is. And that's why I respect him, because he's never going to be somebody he's not. And he goes out and competes, man. You know, and I'm excited to have him on the other side of the ball.
Did you get out there and play with the puppies today?
Absolutely. You know, Pitts. I love dogs, man. You know, I want to get a came course on myself. So,
would you grow up with dogs?
Yes.
What kind?
I had a Sharpei and a Shih Tzu. My mom had a Shih Tzu. My dad.
Well, you're not taking ownership of the Shih Tzu.
No, I am.
I mean, it seems like you're trying to take ownership of the Sharpei, but not the Shih Tzu.
No, I am. I am. Okay. I love my Shih Tzu. And my mom has a miniature Schnauzer now. I love her. So, yeah.
Well, hey, man, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for doing this, and we'll look forward to watching you this year.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right, there you go. That was Kobe Bryant. We taped that a couple days ago, standing in the what do you call the indoor facility? They have a name for it, but the huge indoor field that they have. Just the two of us in there, and all of his friends coming by to heckle him while he was doing his interview. Clint Hurd and Ken Walker and everybody else. So nice kid, though, huh? Doesn't he seem like just a nice kid?
Yeah.
We do have some video of him showing me the footwork stuff, so maybe we'll put that out a little bit later today so you guys can see him going through all of his footwork drills.
Also, another helpful reminder to follow Seattle Sports 710 on Instagram and YouTube.
There you go. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for reminding everybody. And you can change our number now in your phone to 866-979-3776. So, a lot going on this morning. All right, let's see. G. Scott coming up in 20 minutes. I think we're going to attempt to do the open phones after that, because we got new phone system. I can now control the phones from in here, which is kind of exciting. It's a big day. It's a really, really big day here on Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Man, it stunk not having Mariner baseball last night. I really and truly missed having a game. Thankfully, they'll be back at it tonight. They go on the road for what is a 9-game trip. Takes them through the most of the AL West. Texas, then Anaheim, then Oakland. 3 games in each of those cities. So when they get back after those 9, they will have 40 games to play exactly. So this is essentially closing out what is the third quarter of this season. They'll have Kirby, then Gonzalez, then Gilbert. They'll get the ball in the 3 games in Texas in that order. Chris Flexen has been moved to the bullpen. A little bit of an interesting decision. And Jerry DePoto joined me yesterday to explain how it was made.
Who would adapt best to a bullpen role because he's done it more often in his career was Flex. And unsurprisingly, he was willing to jump into the bullpen and contribute. And I think the answer we got from everyone we spoke with was, hey, just want to win. And that's the answer we got from Chris.
Yeah, very cool. And certainly, you know, that's the attitude you want for guys on this team. And that's some of the culture that Scott Servais has built. I like it. I do still think I'd like to see them find ways to limit Kirby even more if possible. I'm glad to hear he's feeling good. But if there are ways for them to take the ball out of his hands now to ensure that he is fresh later in the season, I kind of like to see them do that. Mariners still hold the 2nd of the 3 wildcard spots. Watching the scoreboard, Cleveland wins yesterday. That puts them in the actual AL Central lead. Chicago lost. That drops them to 4.5. Out. Baltimore lost as well, so pretty good night for the Mariners, even as they sat idle.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Hey, you know, get to see tonight? Julio! Julio!
Do it again.
Julio! Is it working? No? No? All right. Well, Julio's back tonight. Anybody miss him? I did. A lot. Just more fun when Julio's out there. Roaming center field, I assume leading off. Just going to be great getting him back into the lineup. Jared Kelnick sent down to make room. He already went 2-for-4 last night in Tacoma. He really has no problems at all hitting in AAA. As for what he did in this particular stint, Jerry DePoto liked some of what he saw.
A much calmer version of Jared than I think we've ever seen. You know, he's had the big moment in New York, and there hasn't been a bevy of hits flying around. But Jared's, he's carrying himself in a much more, reserved way than we've seen in the past. And it's been a unique season for him. He's learning things, and he is experiencing things that he's never experienced before.
2 days after coming up with the biggest hit of the year, Luis Torrens was DFA'd yesterday in order to make room for trade deadline acquisition Kurt Casale. He'll be the backup catcher now moving forward. Torrens, big part of their offense last year, but really struggled this season. So now, other than Jesse Winker, they're healthy. And we'll see. Maybe Winker will be able to go tonight. There are no more excuses at this point. This lineup has to hit. They've got their team. They're playing against some of the worst pitching staffs in baseball. It's time to hit, man. It's time to go. It's time to rake. It's time to hit the ball. Hopefully, we will get a chance to see that here because they're going to need to over the course of the next month and a half.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
So we finally get preseason football tomorrow night. Seahawks in Pittsburgh playing their first preseason game. You know, some will look familiar, some things won't, right? You got a new quarterback to see in Drew Lock, a new defensive scheme. But it's this rookie class that I think is going to be the thing where most of our eyes go, other than, of course, the quarterback debate. I'm really looking forward to seeing the two corners, right? Both Tariq Woolen and Kobe Bryant. Pete Carroll, he agrees.
Yes, yeah, as much as any position on the team, I'm excited to see those two guys go. They're going to get a lot of play time. They've done a lot of cool stuff, and Kobe's really been a gamer. You know, he's proven that over the years. This is a big step for Tariq, but if he just does like he's been practicing, he's going to do fine.
Unfortunately, a whole bunch of guys are going to miss this game due to injury. The reason those two corners are going to be starting, no Artie Burns or Sidney Jones, no LJ Collier, no Jordan Brooks, no Marquise Goodwin, and unfortunately, no Rashad Penny, as he has a groin pull. It's everything you need to know. And that's quarter past every hour here in the Mike Salk Show. I'm not worried about Penny. I'm going to believe that this is, look, what he learned last year was how to play through the Knicks. And there's no reason to do that in
preseason.
A preseason game. Yeah. So, all right. I mean, like, you know, if this is a serious injury, it's going to take, you know, most of the year to come back from. Totally different scenario. But I'm going to assume this is one of those things that he could play through if it was appropriate for him to do so. But it's not.
And the way Pete described it made you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think listening to Pete yesterday, it didn't sound as if this was a major setback for Rashad. So, I gotta give him some credit. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. I know a lot of people will not today, and I understand why. As I think he would as well. I think he would understand. But you can't get mad at a guy for not playing in a preseason game. It's
not
just
at all.
Like,
he's
certainly not a veteran.
Play one or two snaps or three snaps, whatever. Anyway,
yeah, no. There's no real point there. So I'm not going to find myself too bent out of shape.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, Julio.
I know how great is that.
I was thinking about how they performed without him in the lineup, and I'm not surprised is not the word I'm going to use. I'm pleasantly happy, content with the way that they're still able to not lose a bunch of games without having a big run producer in the lineup.
Hey, look, for the first time really all year, we're going to get Julio once he sort of figured out the league,
yep.
Like the after April version of Julio, Mitch Haniger, and Ty France. We haven't had that all year.
You love it.
I mean, this will be the first time all three of those guys are together at the top of your order. And now everyone can slide back a little bit, right? Everyone gets to drop down in the order one more spot. And you really start to lengthen things out. This is what they envisioned when the season started. And finally.
August 12th.
We're going to get a chance to see it. G. Scott joins us next. It's giving the people what they want. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
You're listening to the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, this hour still driven by Wastecarf Ford. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com as well. We're efforting G.
What they want.
Oh my God, there
Give
he is.
The people
oh
what they
my
want.
God, there he is. Hello, sir.
Good morning, brother.
This works. We're having quite a day down here.
Right? Hey,
new equipment, the whole thing.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes new equipment is good. Hey, Salk, listen, man. I was in a line at I was getting some food at an event, a Boeing pairings event. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. For the pros.
Wine pairing?
The pros find out who they're going to be paired with
for
the
Boeing yesterday. Classic. Oh, I bet I know who you saw. You were at the Pro-Am, right?
Yeah. So, look, this guy was like, hey, I need to ask you something. Oh, what's up? And I'm like, this can't be good, because the way his voice changed, the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike Salk, do you guys get along? I said, well, yes and no.
Right.
He said, well, what's that mean? I said, yes, from time to time, and no, what you hear is real when we're going at it. So yes and no.
Was it Scott Servais who asked you?
No.
Oh,
Scott,
okay.
Man, Scott don't know who I am.
Are you sure?
No, Scott's a big timer.
He was there yesterday, right? Wasn't he playing in the Pro-Am?
I was there the day before for the pairings event. Yeah, Korean Air had a little thing, and But what's up, man? What's going on? You guys ready for some Seahawk football, man?
We
you guys
are.
Excited, man?
Yeah. How about you? What are you looking forward to this weekend?
I'm looking for the more athletic, bigger, stronger, faster BB Brandon Bolden, which is the new corner for the Seahawks. Mm. I love Tariq, man.
Well, he's going to start, it looks like, right? I mean, like he's out there. It sounds like the injuries to both Sidney Jones and Artie Burns mean Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen are going to be your starting corners.
Yeah, I love them. But I'll be honest. There's a lot of former Seahawks that love this dude, too. People are raving about this dude. I mean, we see the highlights. We're seeing what's going on. But, man, one-on-one.
What are they saying? What is it? What is it about him?
They remind him of Brandon Browner. Reminds them of BB. Like, people, when you talk about the Legion of Boom, I know that the famous one gets talked about, but let's be real. Where the toughness, the aggressiveness, that dog, that attitude, no disrespect to nobody else, but they know. Brandon Browner, I said Bolden a second ago.
Yeah, you
Brandon,
did. Yeah, do you remember Brandon Bolden? He was like a Patriots running back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of random.
Yeah, it was random. That was
is
so
he
weird.
Really? That guy's been on the Patriots for like 15 years.
I can't believe I said that. I don't know what I was thinking.
That's definitely
anyway,
weird.
Yeah, Brandon Browner was the attitude. That's where the aggressiveness, that dog, the feistiness, the dog practices. Anyways, Tariq Woolen, that dude they're talking about has some of those same qualities. The only difference is he's faster.
Well, I was going to say, obviously. I mean, the problem with Brandon Browner is for all of those things, he just wasn't very fast.
Right.
Which is fine. He found another way to make up for it. Yeah. I'm not saying that to talk trash. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, his ability to be tough and physical may very well have cost the Seahawks their second Super Bowl. When he was in New England.
You see those one-on-ones with he and DK?
It's crazy, isn't it? How hard do you think that is to do? To stay with DK in that kind of a drill?
I think it's tough because of how strong DK is, right? Like when DK comes and he comes off that line and he swings through and he hits your arm, that's a massive man. He's a strong dude. So most of the time, DK is going to out-physical you. Well, when you see Tariq on DK, not only is he going at him physically, but also he is going at him step for step on his route. DK is fast. This dude is mirroring his route. Tariq Woolen, I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. Pro Bowl.
As a rookie?
I said it with my chest.
I just wasn't sure if that's what you meant. I wasn't sure if you were saying Pro Bowl eventually or Pro Bowl this year, year one.
This year, Mark Justin, book it, record it, put it in the archives so we can come back to this moment. I'm telling you right now, look, there are some listening right now. Maybe you're doing well in the stock market. Well, stock market's kind of weird lately, but sometimes when you buy at a low price and then it goes ahead and starts to soar, you look good. And in this case, if you want to buy on a Seahawk player, this is the one you want to buy in right now. Tariq Woolen, this is the one you want to buy.
Have you heard him talk at all?
No, I haven't met him.
Oh, dude, he's great. We haven't really met him either, but just like listening to him every time he talks, he's got that sort of southern way of going, shoo. Here's a little bit of Tariq. Listen to this.
Shoot, I feel like he's a little bit more faster. You got to actually know your job.
Just listening to him, I don't know. He seems like a very likable guy here. Listen to this one. He was talking about playing basketball when he was a kid.
Oh, yeah. I remember I used to try to dunk when I was like in eighth grade. And then when I became a freshman, you know, I still was kind of getting hung a little bit. And then sophomore year, it was a lot more easier to dunk the ball. And shoot, it just went from doing basic dunks to just dunking on people.
I gotta admit, I laugh every time he says that.
So here's another reason. So somebody's gonna say, well, gee, why are you really buying into him? Because there's something about players when they come to the league when they don't have the fanfare. So right now, off the top of your head, if you're listening right now, what college did Tariq Woolen attend? Exactly. When you don't attend
UTSA,
those,
thank you.
Yeah, University of Texas.
I know where he went.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying in general. When you
shocking that I know. Like the fact that I know is actually probably more surprising than some of the people out there. But
these players, when they come in, when they don't have the fanfare, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. And you look in the past about players that Pete and John have drafted, the ones that really did the best, and I know Doug Baldwin gets the credit for the one that has the chip on his shoulder, but you know what? All them dudes had a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And this guy right here fits that mold right there.
You know, Kobe Bryant does also. I mean, he's sort of in different case. I mean, Tariq Woolen, as you say, kind of coming from a smaller school, shifted positions late in his college career, so all of that kind of works against him. I'm not saying he won't have an attitude, but if you're him, you sort of understand, I would think, why teams weren't, you know, jumping over each other to draft you early. Kobe Bryant was the Jim Thorpe Award winner who was incredibly productive in college and still falls to the fourth round.
You're right. When it comes to talent evaluations, this one thing that I do love about John and Pete. Now, people can say lately about how they've drafted, and that's fair. You know, everybody's not perfect, but a lot of times people or talent evaluators usually do what we as fans do. No different. They don't really watch as much as they say they do. They go off of who is the name. Oh, that name. Everybody's talking about that name. Must be good. Let's draft him. Mm-hmm. Bam, bust, right? John and Pete have, in my opinion, really go after what do we see on film. And I'm going to trust those guys, especially when it comes to DBs drafting these guys. And so these two individuals that we're talking about right now, they fit that mold. And I think they're going to come in, and I think they have good leadership in that DB room. I'm super excited about them. I mean, like seriously, I'm not exaggerating. I'm excited for them. And as soon as he gets that first interception, mm-hmm. I'm going to be on Twitter talking ham.
Well, that doesn't take much. It's not really like a huge prediction.
I don't talk that much on Twitter.
Well, like you soft pedal everything, right? Everything on Twitter is like, hey, I'm just saying. Hey, I'm just asking. Right, that's sort of your Twitter move.
You don't talk to me on Twitter.
Well, that's because I don't want to talk to a guy who won't say it with his chest. There's a lot of like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just asking.
Wait, are you sure all my takes are that way? Because
a lot of them are.
Yeah. Lately, especially of the news the last couple of days, is that you? Man, whose phone is that?
Dude, we've got issues today. I told you we have issues. That's just one of them.
What's up with your Mariners, man? All the Mariners.
Mariners. They're everybody's Mariners, dude. Ooh-wee. They went out there and knocked the crap out of the Yankees a couple games. You like that?
So did. Man, all my Yankee partners.
You get to watch that game the other night. Seriously, the late game. The 13-inning game.
But let me go ahead and lie. Yes.
You should have been watching. Dave Ross stayed up to watch that game. So did I. That was truly, honestly, one of the better baseball games I've ever watched. And it was 1-0. But it was tense. It was well played. Mm-hmm. The Mariners, you know what the Mariners do? Mm. They don't make the big mistakes. It was crazy seeing the Yankees make huge mistakes while the Mariners did not.
Can I ask you and a baseball fan something?
Yeah.
You just mentioned that game, 13 innings. But by the way, shout out to the Yankees. I heard that. I mean, that's just phenomenal. No, I was asleep, bro. But 13 innings, 1-0 game, 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really exciting baseball?
It was.
No. Baby, to you, the baseball, to the anybody, baseball enthusiast.
To anybody who was watching that game, it was exciting.
The pedestrian fan?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't say that all the time. I'm not saying that baseball doesn't need more scoring in general. Mm-hmm. It does. I'm telling you that game in particular was that exciting. There were incredible defensive plays.
What was so exciting?
Well, first of all, there was not a pitch thrown below 95 miles an hour, a fastball thrown below 95 until the 10th inning. All five or six pitchers that came in over the course of the game were just throwing hard, and they were all fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then you had great defensive plays, incredible pressure with runners on base, big moments, huge strikeouts to get out of it. It was a very exciting game, even without a lot of offense, because they were scoring threats. Mm-hmm. They just didn't end up in runs, if that makes sense.
What makes the Mariners right now so good? I'm asking these questions because I know you're the baseball guy. Yeah. This is what you do all the time. I'm a fair weather fan. I'm that cousin that comes around and says, ooh, they making some money now? Ooh, can I borrow some money? That's me on the Mariners. What makes this Mariners team so good?
Well, I think that, you know, look, it's been over the last 2 years, their record in one-run games. Last year, everybody could sort of, you know, pass over it and be like, it's kind of fluky. Mm-hmm. But when you have yet another season where you lead the league in one-run wins, you know, that starts to become more than just a pattern. It's a full-on trend, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a few reasons for that. One, their bullpen is very, very good. It's better. Well, it's certainly as good as it was last year, maybe better, but with some different faces. And that's a huge testament, not only to what Jerry has found and what those guys have done, but how Scott manages them a little bit differently than the way a lot of other teams manage their bullpen. And I think Scott does a very good job in those situations of his team not making a lot of mistakes. You watch that game the other day. The Yankees ran themselves out of like three outs in that game. Mm-hmm. The Mariners didn't run themselves out of any. And that matters over the course of a season, especially with such a young team. His teams have played smart baseball, and I think that's a reflection on them, but also on their manager.
Well said. Good for you, man.
Yeah, and I've thought about these. I mean, like, we think about this. We talk about it a lot. Scott gets credit. I still don't think he gets enough. I still can't believe there were people a month or two ago who wanted to run Scott. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've heard. And hopefully the 2 months that came after it have convinced people that they were just dead wrong.
You really had that dude's back over the last 2-3 years. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you, man. I really didn't see it with Scott Service. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if Scott Service listens, so my bad, player. But one of the real reasons as to why I have my opinion on Scott Service really comes down to you. really comes down to, even when we're not on the air, being serious, when we're off the air, you're like, no, you would love this dude. Here's why, and blah, 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 all those kind of things. In a weird way, I kind of like Scott Service because of you.
Oh, that's cool. Well,
and I don't even like you. You can't even get me to like you.
No, yeah.
But you can get me to like another man.
That I'm a good guy. Will that help you get to like me a little bit more?
No, because I have an opinion on you.
Because you already know.
Yeah.
You know better than that.
Yeah, but you can get me to like Scott Service. Strange.
Well, there's a few things that you would like about him. He's a very good communicator. He communicates with his people, which is why when Chris Flexen goes to the bullpen, et cetera, like those things have been fairly seamless.
Mm-hmm.
He's managed to get guys to buy into some smaller or different roles that are non-traditional. Mm-hmm. Look, they don't have a closer. They don't have a guy for the ninth inning, the eighth inning, the seventh inning. Some days Munoz is in the seventh. Some days he's in the ninth, and it depends on the matchup. But as we heard Matt Brash tell us the other day, he doesn't always know what his role is going to be. But it's communicated ahead of time so that he knows that day what to look forward to. And, you know, so that's a big part of it. He's done a good job of creating the culture he wanted. And it wasn't necessarily the culture that was there before he got there. He had it took time to work through that and bring in, you know, not just the players he wanted, but players that were willing to buy into his vision of caring for each other, learning about each other. Baseball's got guys from all walks of life, even more than football, because of the language barrier, the international factor. He's got, you know, Japanese players and Dominican players and Venezuelan players and black players and white players, et cetera, from all over the country and the world, Canadian players. And they find a way to have a relationship with each other. That stuff can break teams. I've seen it, right? You get a bunch of Latino guys or Dominican guys that are in one corner listening to their music and everybody else gets mad at it. And then the next thing you know, they can't overcome some of their differences. Mm-hmm. And I think Scott's worked very hard to get them to know each other, knowing that that familiarity is often the best way to overcome that stuff.
I love to hear that. Before you kick me off the radio, which is rude of you to do that every single time.
Yes. I'm sorry, we have a clock. Yes.
Yeah, it's cool. I know Big Cal is listening right now. Make sure you get the clock. Big Cal always. You ever notice Big Cal always talking about the clock? Bruh, chill out. There's other things in life besides the clock. Anyways, this game tomorrow, Seahawks, Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's a lot of people that's like, it's just the preseason. No, it's not. It goes down. Tomorrow, this is a big deal, no matter how you slice it. So for all of you, who's going to be the quarterback? You know what? Find out. Find out who's going to be the quarterback. Find out who's going to be the next guy. Who's going to be the next man up? Because there's a lot of things, if all the questions that you want to maybe have answered, mm-hmm. Well, some of those can be answered tomorrow.
Hey, I got a question for you.
What's that?
What was Sherm doing here the other day? What was that all about?
What you mean?
Well, I don't know.
He lives here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know that he lives here, but that doesn't mean he lives out there hanging out with Pete Carroll during the mock game. Like, what was Sherm doing? What was that conversation like? I mean, the last thing we heard from Sherm, he wanted to, you know, go to the Kumbaya room and make fun of Pete. And now all of a sudden they're out there being buddy-buddy. What's going on there? Tell me more. Take me inside.
They love Pete. Former players. I don't care what it is they say. Sometimes I'm not calling them kids, but, you know, I like to give examples mm-hmm. to make it common for us to understand. Sometimes we say things about our own parents. You get ready to leave the house. I don't need you no more. I can just go out and do all this by myself. I'm going to be independent. And you go out there into the real world and you realize like, my parent was actually knew what they were talking about. My parent really kind of helped me. Now, again, I don't want any former player to be like, well, did you try to call Pete my daddy? No, I'm not saying that Pete's your daddy. But what I am saying is from my discussions with former players, they can say what they want to say. They know that Pete was the reason for the culture.
It's so interesting that it takes, I mean, and I think in this way, the parenting example is a good one because oftentimes we don't understand all the things that our parents are trying to tell us, especially when we're teenagers. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you get older, you get into the world, maybe you have kids yourself and you're all like, oh yeah, I get it. I see what they were doing there. And are you saying you think that's what's happened with Sherm and others?
That's exactly what has happened with Sherm. You notice, like, a lot of people say, oh, I can't believe this person's around. Oh, I can't. Players are going back right now. Mm-hmm. Players are going back to be like, yo, this is the place that really, I mean, low-key kind of made me. Like, if you can think
not
of a Seahawk.
At all. by the way.
Okay, whatever.
Literally made them.
Yeah. Name a Seahawk that's left Seattle and went on to do great things.
Yeah, we've tried to figure this out before. Any of the players that left here that went on to some real success. I mean, Sherm had a good year or so, but I don't know that you could say he went on to great success.
I mean, Sherm was good when he left, but was that Sherm years?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
all I'm saying. Brandon Browner won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And he was in on a play that we don't want to talk about. But did Brandon Browner have success when he left? You know what I mean?
I think you could say Golden Tate had some success after he left. He's probably the best example.
One, yep.
And I don't think that you would put it in an extreme example, but he's probably
I agree.
The one where you're like, yeah, Golden Tate did pretty darn well after he left here. He's still a really good player.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that Golden Tate leaving, and as far as the Pete era is concerned, probably had the best career when they left. Agree.
Yeah, well, it is interesting, though, that everyone who's left really struggled at that point. And I don't know whether, you know, the Seahawks have been pretty good about figuring out who's past their prime versus who was still ascending. So some of that's got to be credit to John and Pete, but some of it has to be the way they were used while they were here, right?
Well, it has. Well, that's the thing, though, right? Like, everything that you see with Seahawk culture and football isn't just on the field, right? And it has a lot to do with the organization. I won't say a name, but I'll give you an example. There was a player that was cut from a team, came to Seattle. And when they came to Seattle, they had just got cut. They're worried about things. Well, they had someone pass away in their family. I don't want to tell the name because I'll let them tell the story. They had someone pass away in the family. So they weren't going to say anything because they wanted to make sure that they wanted to keep going to practice to make sure they're good. Well, what does the Seahawks organization do? Hey, no, you're not going to practice. We're going to fly you to the funeral. Take your time. Don't worry about it.
And then
when you come back, you're going to be good. You see, those things don't show up in the paper,
right?
But they show up. And so when you guys hear about players continuing to come back to see Pete, it's how the organization is. There's a lot of organizations that are rinky dink. Oh, your uncle died? Well, that's just your uncle. It wasn't your mom and your daddy. Oh, well, better get to practice. See, those things, don't show up in the newspaper. Those things don't show up in the media, but they show up in those individuals, in those players, and they never forget that, and they're able to perform at a higher level, hence the reason why the Seahawks have been successful over the last 10 years. You just don't be successful just because players are bigger, stronger, faster.
Frank Clark had some success, obviously, after leaving. He won a Super Bowl and played pretty well for Kansas City. So we'll throw him in that category
fair,
as well.
Fair.
And then, really, that theory is going to be tested this year with Russ and Bobby. I mean, like, this is the ultimate example of testing this theory. Probably more with Bobby than Russ, because the Russ thing is, I put it in a different category. But really, if you want to test this theory, this is the opportunity to do
I
so.
I know. Let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room. This theory is going to be tested with Russ.
Yeah.
Period.
And Bobby.
Period.
No,
not really.
People are going to be watching to see if in a different system, in a different situation, if somebody can get more out of
him. Bobby had, 167 tackles last year?
Yeah.
How are we gonna?
Because he didn't. But you're gonna judge it in terms of, does he make impact plays, Bobby? Anybody playing middle linebacker could have had a gazillion tackles. Okay. We saw it with Cody Barton.
All right. Salk?
Yeah.
Stop it. I don't know. I don't care what anybody's telling you. 167 tackles is 167 tackles.
Yeah, I know it is, but it also isn't when you're on the field all the time. It's a counting stat. Okay. Now, I don't buy that one, and I don't say it without respect for Bobby, but you're right. I mean, the Russ thing becomes now, obviously,
if Denver,
the whole story.
If Denver doesn't make it to the playoffs, I would assume that they're going to probably put a rollback special out there. You get it? The new ownership owned by the Walton Walmart. I thought that was
good. I got you. I got it. The little yellow dot, the little smiley face is cruising around with his little cowboy hat on, rolling back prices.
Roll them. Wait a minute. Broncos, are you going to the playoffs?
Let's ride.
Hey,
wait, you didn't make the playoffs?
Are you sure I didn't hear Brock? Brock was in the other day. He said Russ didn't look good. He said that there were like a lot of questions about how he's looked in practice, in addition to the entourage and Sierra walking in and out of the facility. Have you ever seen anything like that? Just like privileges to walk in and out of the facility? That's crazy.
Can
you imagine, G, you're sitting in Mo Kelly's office with the guys and she walks in, starts hanging out?
No. I can't, look, let me, I want to be clear. I only know how one organization works,
right,
and that's the Seahawks.
Well, now, every other NFL, ex-NFLer I've heard has said they all work the same in that regard.
Okay. All I know is that. Now, when it comes to how things are done in Seattle,
yeah,
there's kind of a way that things work. There's parameters and boundaries in place. Even me, I'll give you all those years that I clean cars, yeah, I would be hanging out in Mo Kelly's office with all the guys, Marshawn, Mike B, Cam Chancellor, all those guys, we'd be having fun and talking. But there's one place that was always sacred. I stayed away from that locker room.
Mm.
You don't go in that locker room. That is a no-no. Unless it's open for the media, then the media can go in. That's cool. But you don't just be, oh, one more place. The
trainers
training
room.
The
media don't go there either. For football, baseball, any sport, you stay out of there.
You stay out of the training
and the showers, although that's when Kendrick Perkins brought me in there. And that, you know, I've told you that story. That got ugly in a hurry. So, hey, have a good weekend, buddy. We'll talk next week.
Love you, bro.
Love you, too. There you go. There's G. Scott giving the people what they want every Friday at 8:30. Hey, can we open the phones? Are we going to be able to do this? We think we can.
Who knows?
Hey, we're going to try it. Will you guys out there please help us? We need a little help trying to see if our phones work. So, new phone number. If you've got the 206 number, it won't work. So this is probably not going to work in general. But you guys are going to help. I trust in you as an audience.
Yes, toll-free number should work.
866-979-3776. Open phones. How excited you are for Julio, your thoughts on the roster moves the Mariners made yesterday, what they need to do here down the stretch, sending Flexen to the pen, which Mariner you'd like to have trick-or-treating with your kids. I'll ask you a new Mariner what-if question if you want, what you're looking forward to tomorrow night with the Seahawks, Drew and Geno, the cornerbacks. G says Tariq Woolen is going to be a Pro Bowler this year. Whatever you want to talk about, I'm game. 866-979-3776.